You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4. Now to the Woman's Hour Power List, and an interesting woman, Lady Barbara Judge. She has been called one of the best connected women in the country, a real pioneer for women in the worlds of law, banking and business. She, among her current roles, has the job of chairman of the Pension Protection Fund. She is chairman emerita of the UK Atomic Energy Authority, and she's a UK business ambassador. I asked her how an American lawyer came to hold such influential positions in Britain.
Oh, the true story of that is I was out of a job. I had had a career in America as commissioner of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
What does that mean?
The Securities and Exchange Commission is like the FSA here.
Okay.
It's the regulator of the markets, of the stock markets, of issuing securities and trading in securities. And for a lawyer, it's like God to be a commissioner of the SEC, and I was fortunate to have that opportunity and to be appointed by the President of the United States when I was very young.
Now, I think I'm right in saying that you got that job because you'd gone on a holiday and made a friend?
I did. That is true. I went on a holiday in China, and it was a group tour, you know, a bus tour.
Yeah.
And on the tour, there was one single lady. Everybody else was a pair, and I was taking care of her. I kept putting my arm around her and taking me off on my various trips. And people kept saying to me, why are you taking care of her? She's very difficult. She's one of those glass half empty people. But I kept saying, hush, she could be my mother. She could be me. You have to take care of women when they're alone. So I did. I kept taking care of her. And she turned out to be the most senior woman broker in Wall Street. I didn't know that on the trip, but that's what she was. She's the one, ultimately, that recommended me to be a candidate for commissioner of the SEC. The moral of that story is be nice to other women, especially single ones.
Tell me a little bit about your mom. I know has been an inspirational figure to you.
My mother worked in an employment job till she was 88. As a dean in a college, she taught women to work. She believed that women should work, not because they were poor, not because they were single, not because they were alone, because they had a brain, and they should use it. And they should earn money, because money was independence, and that was important. So, yes, of course she did. When I was young and wanted to be an actress, she said, Barbara, we're not having any starving actresses in this family. If you want to act, you can go be a lawyer and act in front of the jury.
And you did.
I never been in front of a jury, but I have became a lawyer and did it for a long time. So she encouraged us, and she encouraged all the things I did, always told me that I should continue with my job, not to feel guilty about anything other than a good job is harder to find than a good nanny.
Yeah, well, let me pick you up on that, because I know you have a son, and he was left with a nanny whilst you continued to pursue your career. Now, brilliantly, for a lot of people, you simply refuse to regard that as an issue or a problem.
I absolutely do. I called my mother. My mother said to me, when a little baby is born, what do they need? Being fed, being diapered, being bathed. An 18-year-old girl can do that. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. If you want to keep working, spend all your money to pay the 18-year-old girl. A good job is harder to find than a good nanny. And I said, Mom, the baby won't know its mother. And my mother said, you're wrong, Barbara. A child always knows its mother. You have to be there when the child gets smarter than the nanny.
I know you passionately believe that women must have children, don't you?
Absolutely, if they can.
Yes,
if they can, it's a wonderful experience. I never expected to be an earth mother, but I am. I'm very attracted to children when they're about 9. 8 or 9, when they start talking and they can have ideas and you can have a word with them. And I wouldn't want people who could have the experience not to have it. Working is not a substitute for children, I don't believe. If you can have it, you need to have both.
Why has your career has changed? Your approach, I think, to work has changed in the last couple of years with much more focus on women and mentoring women. Why do you think that's happened?
Well, in the beginning, I never thought it was an issue. Remember, my mother said women work. I'd watched my mother work. My friends, my personal friends, were all going to have jobs. We were much more getting on with getting a law degree. There was a lot of prejudice against women, getting jobs, getting through. But when I didn't get a job, I never thought it was because I was a woman. And when I did get it, I never thought it was because I was a woman. I thought it was because I was a person. I either did well in the interview or did badly. It wasn't in my head. What was in my head was just to be equal to men, to be a person, and to progress in the same way they did and at the same rate that they did. I was always a believer in that. And it was only later, only now, and I'm getting older and I don't have a daughter, so I really feel that it's important to tell my experiences to other young women so maybe they won't make the mistakes that I made, or maybe they'll appreciate what's changed since then, that I've started focusing on it.
But, I mean, what do women have to do differently, do you think, in order to give themselves the best opportunities?
Well, first of all, I think they have to be serious. I think it's really important to be serious and to let everybody know they're serious. If you want to progress in your career, you have to tell people you're there, not just for your health, but because you want to progress and to get to the top. You know, I passionately believe that you have to make the right first impressions and continue to keep people the right impression of who you are. And I always say that's because I almost got fired from my first job, which was looking like a tart.
I mean, tell me what you were wearing. It was what decade are we in here? It was the 70s.
The 70s.
Yeah, and how were you dressed?
I had very long blonde Farrah Fawcett major hair. I had very mini skirts, very, very mini, and crocheted blouses. Now, I thought I looked great. But my mother thought I looked terrible, and she hated it. And it wasn't until they called me into the office one day of the senior partner and said, Barbara, we're going to fire you. I said, fire me? You can't fire me. I'm doing the best of anyone in my class. They said, you are. That's true. But you don't look like a lawyer, so you're going to have to leave. And I said, well, we can't do that. So I walked out of the office, and I stopped in the office of a friend of mine, a male friend, and told him the story, outraged. He said, you know, Barbara, you're too smart to look this dumb. They were right. And I took my long blonde hair and I put it up in the boring way you see it today.
Well, it's not boring, it's smart.
Different. I took my short skirts, I put them down in the appropriate length, and I took my blouses and put them way up to the top of my collar. And I have become the person then, in the 70s, that I am today.
But the immaculate vision that is before me now, I mean, it is absolutely the Barbara Judge look. Is that the real you, or is there the sort of 70s hippie chick still in there somewhere?
Well, definitely when I go to the shops and I see the short skirts, I think, God, I wish I could wear them. But my little mantra is, if you were wearing short skirts, mini skirts in those days, you're too old to wear them now. I always think that.
This is all a long way from a woman who, without any actual knowledge, became the chairman of the Atomic Energy Authority. Did you just go in and admit that it wasn't your area of expertise?
I was looking for a job. I think I told you I was out of a job. And I called a headhunter. And the man said, well, Barbara, the only thing we have is a seat on the board of the Atomic Energy Authority. And I said, well, that's really not for me. I didn't take science. I'm a lawyer. He said, no, it's okay. They only want someone to run the audit committee, and you could do that. And when the interview came, they said to me, why do you want a seat on the board of the Atomic Energy Authority? It was a big panel. And I said, well, I don't, really. I just really want a job in the government, and you're what's going. But I'm very academic, and I'm a lawyer, and lawyers learn things. And if you give me this job, I will learn it. And I will learn it so well that when I find another job in the government that I really want, I hope you will be the referees. And they gave it to me. And then I set about to learn it. Because I believe that anybody can learn anything if they're motivated. Absolutely. I read everything I could possibly read about the policy related to nuclear, about the history of nuclear in this country, about the science. Now, I couldn't build you a nuclear power plant even today, but I can tell you exactly how one works. I advise lots of countries and companies about setting up nuclear safety regulatory authorities, about the issues related to nuclear. I gave a lecture at MIT on nuclear. I learned it because I was motivated. Still today, before I go to bed, I read whatever's interesting and modern about nuclear and the nuclear industry. And then, of course, I read about food. Those are my two favorite subjects.
Lady Barbara Judge,